Hey, how y'all doing? It's your boy Big Sir here with another Chance Foundation. Just wanted to give you guys an update on some of the news we've got back from prisoners and family members. Just want to, first of all, start off with a word of prayer, honoring our Father in Heaven, but also keep you updated on what's going on with the prison pandemic and the coronavirus, how it's affecting our prisons and our communities. So, Father God, I'm just so grateful for you. I'm thankful for this time, Father God, to be an advocate for prisoners, to be an advocate for people. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your guidance in our lives. Ultimately, we know you are in control. Father God, you've given us time to really acknowledge you, to really acknowledge your presence and your existence, Father God. So many of us may have felt that we were in control. But in reality, Father God, it was just an illusion. And you want us to understand that you are in control, Father God. At a time like this, when this virus has impacted the world, the whole world, Father God, and caused us to alter the way that we live, alter the things that we do on the day-to-day, Father God. Man, I pray that after this is over, all the wisdom that we gain from your truth, Father God, that we keep that we live in a way that is honorable to your name, Father God. I pray that this is causing families to become one. I pray against the domestic violence rise that's going on right now, Father God, because people don't know how to live together. You're calling us to unity. You're calling us to love, Father God. You're calling us to lead out in our homes and to be leaders in our communities, Lord. I pray for the sick. I pray the healing is happening right now, Father God. I pray that financial breakthroughs are happening right now, Lord. I pray for those who really just need hope. Bring peace, Father God, into homes. Father God, breathe shelter over your people. And for those who don't know you, Father God, I pray that the opportunity is given. I pray that they hear you, Father God, that you open their ears, you open their eyes, you open their hearts, Father God, to receive your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your love. May we all be ambassadors as we go out throughout our day and we live in a way that is worthy of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, hey, man, I hope you guys are doing well and that this time is fruitful for you. I just want to share a little bit about, you know, something the Lord had put on my heart not too long ago. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." And a lot of people use that verse for a prosperity kind of thing. And not that it's not that, but one thing we got to do when we look at the context of that verse, if you read the whole chapter of Jeremiah 29, you will see that the people of Israel are going into captivity and they'll be there for 70 years. And God is telling them in the midst of that captivity, in the midst of you being a slave to the Babylonians, I want you to be fruitful and I want you to trust me and I want you to understand that I'm in control. And that I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And I have plans to give you hope in the future. And I think in the midst of a time that we're in now, when most of us are confined to our homes, and even with our prisoners being confined to a cell, and our family members who are hurting, and it's been unknown territory for most of us, and we're uncomfortable, to be honest. I pray that we realize that this verse is speaking to us specifically, and more directly as it did to those Israelites back then. And God is telling you, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you a hope and you a future. I pray that we hear that word. I pray that we embrace that word and trust God. I pray that we're praying, that we're fasting, that we're motivated, and we know that God is in control. And we're here to serve and be ambassadors for him. So I just want to share that little word with you guys and girls and let you know that here at Another Chance, man, we're all about helping people and being an advocate. But more importantly, we just want you to know that before anything, we acknowledge that God is in control and that we're going to give him the utmost respect and the utmost praise because he alone deserves the glory. I pray that we're using this time to grow closer to him for us all. And so, man, just to give you an update on kind of what I've been reading on and what I've been seeing, for the most part, a lot of prisons are enacting some form of prevention against the coronavirus. We get a few emails every now and then that says these guys aren't doing anything outside of the norm. But for the most part, overall, it seems like most prisons are doing something. Now, when I say that, I do want to backtrack a little bit and say that they're not really releasing a lot of people either, but they are doing implementation as far as trying to clean the cells and giving the guys what they need to be as clean as possible. Of course, they're watching the movement of the guys and girls in the dormitories as much as they can. Some ways that the prison is kind of set up in some situations, it's almost impossible to have that 6 foot difference because it is in a sense, it's overcrowded. In the way it's set up, there are some just flat rooms with tons of bunk beds in them, with people sleeping right above each other, right next to each other. So when you got a situation like that, when one of those guys get coronavirus, then it's bad for everybody in that room. And so it's bad for the COs, it's bad for the warden, anybody coming in and out of that room. So, man, it's a very dangerous time in the prisons, honestly, because if the leadership doesn't start making the decisions to release some of these people and to create a better movement. Right now, it's hard to create a movement in the prison system because they're overpopulated, right? Release some of those, the elderly population, those people with nonviolent crimes. If you release them now and get that out the way, then you create better movement within the prisons. Just my opinion. But, you know, from what we've been hearing, what we've been getting, most prisons are stepping up and doing something. And so we can't but be help but be grateful to some of the prison leadership who is enacting some disciplines to keep the prisoners safe. So one thing that I found interesting today, you know, I was listening to Trump do his speech, as I do, about the coronavirus. And for the first time, I believe, since I've been watching it, he was asked a question about prisoners. And his response to it was a little bit different than I expected. But I'm going to play it right now so you can hear it for yourself. So just listen in.
Could address what the federal government is doing to protect.
Well, it's vulnerable and that it's close together, really. I can't tell you about age, but a lot of young people in prison. Some people, some states, I have not done that at all, but some states are letting people out of prison. Some people are getting out that are very serious criminals in some states, and I don't like that. I don't like it. But it's a city or state thing in certain cases, as you know. I think maybe Philadelphia comes to mind. So we'll see. Have to see what's going on. And we don't like it. The people don't like it. And we're looking into see if I have the right to stop it in some cases. Okay?
Mr. President.
So here's my issue with his response. We didn't really get to hear a lot of her question, but she asked about the vulnerable being the prison population. His response seemed to be not really addressing the fact that they are vulnerable. It was more so addressing the fact that we don't want them let back into our communities. Here's the thing, you know, I get that it's going to be a lot of tough decisions made to release some people who may have done something terrible. You know, even if someone kills somebody, a lot of young guys, and if you watch the news enough, you will see there are a lot of young men and young women that make dumb decisions under 18. And they're getting thrown 20, 30, 40 years. And some of them have already completed most of that time. So now you got a 16, 17-year-old that's now 46, 56 years old. And if you're going to tell me that he or she's not rehabilitated, then that must be a problem in the system. You feel what I'm saying? Like, at some point, we have to start rehabilitating them. If that's not going on in the prisons, if it's just a glorified babysitting, or are we really trying to make these people better individuals? If that's going on, then I see no reason not to let a 65 plus year old person out of prison and miss their risk of dying from the coronavirus. You know, so of course, I may get a little bit overly passionate about it because I do care for that community a lot. But I just didn't find the president's response very helpful to the question that was asked, but also just the mindset of the people now, that everyone that heard that, what he said, now has this image of prisoners being let out and they're criminals. They don't need to be back. I don't think that's the way he should have answered that question. Now, I know there are some people that have terrible crimes that are still acting the fool while they locked up, and you should not let them out. They need to be rehabilitated. I understand that. But you got old people sitting in jail with already underlying health conditions. That's going to be attacked by this coronavirus if we just sit and don't do anything about it. And they weren't convicted to die. They had a certain time. But if we just sit there and not do anything, then they probably will. The chances are that they will. And I know he speaks about, he made a statement that there are a lot of young people in prison, which I do agree with. But one thing that I would say, and I just want people to really be aware, that the coronavirus, though it is attacking our most vulnerable people, which are elderly and those with underlying health conditions, it is not attacking our young people. I have seen a few cases where 30-year-olds have passed away. I saw a case today on Facebook where a 25-year-old kid had passed away. And from the stories I read, these were people who were deemed healthy. So it's not that it's not attacking the young population. It's just more aggressive towards those who have weaker immune systems. So even for those young people, they're still at risk. And so, you know, like I said, I'm going to be an advocate for the prisoners regardless. But I think if we don't do anything, it's going to affect the community either way. I mean, yes, it's going to be tough decisions made, and maybe someone you let out abuses their freedom, right? Well, there are people doing that anyway, one, but two, I think for the majority of a truly old person that's sick. I mean, there's a story about a woman, and I may have shared this already, but her husband committed a crime in 1985, you know, and he has cancer already. He's in his 56, 71 of them, and he's getting ready to pass. And one thing that she said that was so powerful to me was she said he was given a certain amount of time, but they didn't say he was going to die in prison. But if they leave him in there and he gets this, he will die. And I know there are places that are releasing prisoners. And like I said, I'm not knocking prison leadership at all. I think that our president should have answered that question a little bit more, with more sympathetic towards the prisoners and what they're going through. I understand they made bad decisions, and we all have. And sometimes the environment or the circumstance we put in just kept us away from being a prisoner ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, man, there are people. If we're talking about going over across seas to help Iran or to help in any country, which I'm not against that, we need to first of all be helping in home. Deal with what's going on homeland as much as you can right now. And a part of our homeland is our people in prison. So that's something that I really just wanted to share with you all, because it was like really the first time I heard someone talk about what was going on in the prison system to Trump. So I expected a different answer. That was just my expectations, though. So, yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up, I've been waiting to see what the Federal Bureau of Prisons was going to do. Most of the state levels and the jails are probably going to follow the lead of whatever they do. I've been waiting to see what they're going to do. They had their first death from the coronavirus a few days ago in Louisiana, I believe. But what they're going to do is put every federal inmate on lockdown in their cells for 14 days to slow the spread. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to release anybody. I think they're still thinking about doing that. But as of now, that's what their plan is, to slow the spread. And I'm not against that idea. I'm happy to see them doing something. I hadn't seen the federal government doing much at all. I know my brother, he's in federal prison now, and he was just telling me they're all on lockdown. I think they are bringing him at the jail. He's at the prison he's at. They are bringing him stuff to clean their cells and stuff like that. He gets 30 minutes out a day. So I guess they're going to put them on complete lockdown for 14 days. But I just want to see the effect that it has. I pray, like I said, that they still release that more at-risk population, which I think we are honestly at risk. I mean, you guys, honestly, those of you who hear this, man, you need to be safe. You really need to be safe. Don't be all out and about touching stuff. Wash your hands, like, do what they're telling you to do, for real. Because, man, when I saw that 25-year-old young man pass from the coronavirus, and his family's like, well, he was healthy, like, it really opened my eyes. And it really opened my eyes to see that, like, this thing could really, I'm 26, you know, this thing could really affect me. You know, at first, I was almost one of the people that was like, I think I'll be good. I just won't go around none of my at-risk family members. But to be honest with you, it's like, no, this thing could really affect me to the point where I'm in the ICU, in a hospital bed, and fighting for my life. And I've seen a few stories with guys in their early 30s and stuff like that. So it's really affecting everybody. The more at risk is the old, elderly, and those with already underlying health conditions and compromised immune systems. But it's really affecting everybody. So make sure we all are aware of what's going on. I want to share a few messages that we got from some inmates, just to kind of keep you up to date on what prisoners are saying. One guy says, it's kind of crazy here where I am. I'm usually a huge critic of what they do, but I can say that these people are doing the most that they can do in an open dorm. I'm in this place, they have like 65 plus people that's in quarantine and 2 confirmed cases. What they have done so far is shut down all movement except to get all the meals. They come by and check everybody's temperature every day. Of course, just like everything in life, you're going to have some inconsiderate people that are sick and want to bypass all the necessary steps to make sure they don't go to the hole. But overall, I can say that they are doing what they are supposed to be doing, the prison. Thank you for asking. Make sure you and your team stay safe also. Another guy says, we are modified here in blank. They are sanitizing the kitchen and the units more consistently. Blank has shared that there are 28 COVID-19 cases confirmed in the Federal Bureau of Prison and 1 death in relationship to it. And he was asking us if we have heard anything else from it. No lockdowns here. The word of the day is thugging. He says, I'm fine here at blank. Right now, we are going on lockdown for 14 days, starting at 12 tonight. But it is well, because God has a plan. Be blessed, safe, and safe. Praying for you all as well. So like I said, man, some of the emails we get, these guys seem to be in better spirits. Some that we get, guys are not in good spirits at all. So it kind of goes up and down, varying on the day. And as this kind of stretches out, you know, guys are going to get more impatient, more antsy. So just prayers for their peace, guys and girls, for their peace during this time. I just wanted to get you guys updated on what we've been getting, keep you informed. I just ask that if you have any information that you want us to share, to talk about, if you would ever like to be called in as a guest, please let us know. We would love to hear what you have to say. I'm grateful for the opportunity. And I'll end this time with a prayer. And just pray that you guys have a great night. Father God, I'm just so grateful for you once again. Thankful for all the knowledge that we've learned tonight. And I just pray for our prisoners. I pray for the prison leadership, Father God. I pray for the leadership of this country. And I just pray that we all focus on helping each other grow, to be better, to be leaders, to be lovers, Father God, of one another, to be kind to one another, to be helpful. I pray for our prisoners, Father God, that you're keeping them safe. Give them a mind of peace. We thank you so much, Father God, for those are leaders. Those are moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers. And they are pillars in some communities, Father God. And I just pray that you release those who need to be released, that you free those who need to be freed. We know that at the end of the day, you are in control. And I just pray that pierces our minds this night as we just listen to this, Father God, and as we dive into your word every day. Help us to understand that you are in control. And when everything around us seems to be going crazy, once we call on you, Father God, you can bring calm to any storm that we're enduring. Even in the midst of chaos, Father God, you do your best work. So we're grateful, Father God, to be a part of you, to be a part of the body that you've called to be bold. So I pray in the time of uncertainty that we're bold because we know who we are and we know whose we are. I thank you so much for this time. This is Big Sir on behalf of Another Chance Foundation. Y'all be blessed.